Hello, it's Thursday, August 3rd, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, where we tell it like it is and let the chips fall where they may. Before we get started today, I want to tell you a little bit about the book we're officially going to release tomorrow, 9/11 Evil, Israel's Central Role in the September 11, 2001 Terrorist Attacks. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the book that many influential 9/11 organizations and individuals don't want you to read or even talk about it. And when they receive it, this is the book that the ADL and the Jewish lobby don't want you to read or talk about. This is the book that the government, the gatekeepers, the mainstream media, the 9/11 commission, the distractors, the obfuscators, and the deceivers, and all those who want to keep a lid on 9/11 don't want you to talk about. This is the most dangerous 9/11 book ever written. The Final Taboo. The book that Lisa Giuliani, when she read it, said or described as being an atomic bomb. This is a book that's going to forever change the way we look at 9/11. Of course, there's going to be those people who try to conceal or cover up or ignore the information in this book.
Or excuse it.
Right. There's even those in the 9/11 truth movement who supposedly want truth who don't want to look at it. But here it is.
And don't want you looking at it.
Here it is at long last. And yeah, this date has been out there. It's existed for almost 5 years now. A little bit here, a little bit there. You can search the internet and find little pieces of the puzzle. But never before has it all been culled together or grouped together all in one place so convincingly and so damningly. And it hits harder than anything ever written on the subject of 9/11. This book doesn't play nice, and it's not lightweight in the least. This is hardcore, heavy-duty reality, and if we want truth, this is where we have to start finding it. We already know why 9/11 was done, and we already know how the World Trade Center towers were destroyed via controlled demolition. But for some reason, most everybody wants to shy away from who ultimately did 9/11. Oh, yeah, yeah. There's those who never go beyond the Bush-Cheney cabal. And there's those who blame it on these faceless, shadowy entities like the New World Order or the globalists.
And those who wallow in irrelevance.
Right, or the Illuminati. And the reason why is because all these individuals belong to a massive protection racket that will do anything in their power to keep the finger of blame from being pointed in a specific direction. And if you look at the subtitle of this book, you know the direction I'm speaking about. These people have even created pre-approved Orwellian scripts on how we should speak acceptably about Israel's role in 9/11. Lisa wrote an article about this last week. But the truth, as we point out in 9/11 Evil, is far more brutal and immediate. The nation of Israel played a central key role in the 9/11 terrorist attacks, and now the overwhelming proof beyond any reasonable doubt is contained within the pages of 9/11 Evil. It's been nearly 5 years now. The big question is, do you have the guts to confront the truth about 9/11? Are you going to opt to be an ostrich?
Not half of the truth, or some of the truth, all of the truth.
Right. Are you going to be like an ostrich with his head in the sand? Just like all those people that sit in front of their TVs and watch CNN and Fox News and CBS and refuse to accept the fact that 9/11 was not only an inside job, but also an outside job. And the actual terrorists didn't reside in Afghani caves or belong to some non-existent Nazi cult that we always hear about. No, Al-Qaeda and the swastika are merely smoke screens conveniently used to mask another symbol, the Star of David. Israel is 9/11 evil. And once you read this book, you'll never again view this event in the same way again. Tomorrow is the official release date. 9/11 Evil, the most dangerous book ever written about 9/11, and we can't wait to get it out there to the public.
Now, speaking of 9/11, did you see this quote by Kyle Hentz?
No, what is
it? Kyle the Decider Hentz. He is 9/11 suppression artist extraordinaire. He said this: "Enough with excusing those responsible by pointing to confusion or fog. The real and dangerous fog here is that which prevents journalists from doing their jobs and asking and answering the hard questions about 9/11, including those surrounding the growing evidence for a controlled demolition." Gee, Carl, did you just figure out that there's
Kyle.
A lot of... Kyle.
Yeah.
A lot of evidence for controlled demolition? Like, just now. Just
yeah,
now?
It's only been like 4 years since we've been
writing
about this.
He should know about fog, since he's created enough of it by suppressing research for years from the victim families and from the public having to do with certain research involving that very subject, controlled demolition.
Yeah. Now, Kyle Hentz is the same person also that when 9/11 on trial came out last February 2005,
uh-huh.
We sent a copy to him. And he said he wasn't going to put the word out at all about this, about the controlled demolition. When I asked him why, he said because the footnotes in the book didn't meet up to his requirements. So they get so minuscule that they won't talk about controlled demolition because of footnotes. It's unbelievable.
Kyle's a sailor.
Yeah.
He's not a primo editor or somebody with a major magazine. He's a yacht boy.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't work for the New York Times
right.
or the Washington Post, but somehow he must have his
master's... He has his own personal unique standards for footnotes.
Yeah, he must have his master's or PhD in English. Now, what we're going to talk about today is two articles that we posted that came out yesterday. One is called 9/11 Panel, Suspected Deception by Pentagon... And the second one is entitled 9/11 Live, the NORAD tapes, which was published in Vanity Fair. Now, a lot of people got excited about these two articles and said, there, it proves there's a cover-up at the 9/11 Commission. It proves that Pentagon was lying. But you know what both of these articles really do? There's two things that they do. First of all, it's not only a lie hop version of 9/11 that it supports. They both still support
the official story,
the government's official version.
The hijackers.
Yeah, the 19 hijackers that came from caves in Afghanistan. So it doesn't even reach the point of lie hop
uh-huh.
of incompetence. It still supports the government's version
right.
of events. And secondly, this NORAD Live article uses a lot of transcripts from air traffic controllers and other entities on the morning of 9/11. The thing you have to keep in mind is that the real players aren't talking on microphones or on devices that are being recorded that morning. Do you think they would be that stupid to let their voices be recorded? What they're using is private civilian lines that aren't being recorded. So what we're hearing is stuff that they want us to hear.
Right, and look where it was published.
Yeah.
They're not going to publish anything they don't want you to see, okay? So you're just getting the same old, panic, confusion, incompetence theory, outdated radar scopes, cutbacks with reduced arsenal for NORAD fighters, you know, the whole thing that promotes the incompetence negligence theory.
Right.
And the official version. Hijackers repeatedly referred to over and over.
Yeah. It's a reinforcement of the official story. And there's very, very little to get excited about in these articles.
Oh, now, it also reinforces that the 9/11 Commission was a whitewash. Because
yeah.
if they were this suspicious of the testimony that was given, then why didn't they pursue it criminally with an investigation? But apparently they weren't that suspicious, or they knew that it was pointless to try to pursue it criminally, since the perps are within our government too,
yeah.
at the federal level and above. So what would be the point? But I guess 9/11 wasn't important enough
yeah.
to bother with.
Well, let's get to that, Lisa. Let's get to this 9/11 Whitewash Committee. And they say that they suspect that they were being deceived by the Pentagon, okay? In fact, they even go so far as to say that there was a deliberate attempt to mislead the public by the Pentagon,
but wait a
okay?
minute, how come they didn't say this years ago?
Right. Well, what they did, instead of telling the public, is they had a secret meeting. This was in the summer of 2004, and they were going to refer their thoughts and suspicions to the Justice Department Criminal Investigation Unit, okay? So this was going to go right to the Justice Department. But instead, after they looked at the emails and other evidence, could this maybe be the videotapes that the Pentagon confiscated within minutes after the Pentagon event? Well, which was, of course, a direct violation of the law.
Listen to this. They said they thought that military and aviation officials violated the law by mm-hmm. making false statements to Congress and to the commission, right. hoping to hide the bungled response to the hijackings. So if they think that they were told false statements and that Congress was given false statements, isn't that on its very face enough reason to get a criminal investigation going? But no, hey.
Well, I mean, it was only the worst terrorist attack to ever hit this country in 200 plus years.
Jeez.
But what the Whitewash Commission did instead was that they came to a compromise. And they turned over their suspicions and their allegations to the inspectors general of the Defense and Transportation Departments. So, I suppose, Lisa, that these two departments are going to do a lot with this evidence, right? They're going to begin criminal procedures. They're going to make sure all of the evidence, all the videotapes,
fire up the shredding machine,
everything.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, you know, having Charles Manson tried out at the Spahn Ranch in front of his family.
We said it a long time ago. It's a case of the government investigating itself. The whole thing is a cruel joke. Look at this. John Lehman, the Republican Commission member, and he's a former Navy secretary. He said this. He believed the panel may have been lied to, but didn't believe the evidence was sufficient to support a criminal referral. Hello, if you believe the panel was lied to, then you should refer it for a criminal investigation. You should do that yourself. But see, what they're accusing the Pentagon of doing, the 9/11 Commission actually did themselves, because it is a deceiver's game, and they've also deceived the public.
Yeah. See, I'm going to use that rationale. You know, one of these days our lawnmower is going to break down. So here's what I want to do, Lisa. We're going to go out to Lowe's, okay? And while I go inside, I want you to just wait in the car. And I'm going to go inside there, and I'm going to steal a lawnmower, okay? And I'm going to run out the door, throw it in the back seat of the car, and when I jump back in the front seat, I want you to take off.
Now, you want me to drive the getaway car?
The getaway car.
No.
Now, when we get taken to court...
Get somebody else.
When we get taken to court, I'm going to use John Layman's rationale there, okay?
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, read that again.
Well,
what did
he say?
Get
somebody else, and then I'll see if your rationale works.
He says that the panel may have been lied to, But the evidence wasn't sufficient to support a criminal referral.
He didn't believe the evidence was. So I guess he's another decider.
Yeah. So I guess if the evidence against me stealing a lawnmower really isn't enough to support a criminal investigation, so they're just going to let me go scot-free, right?
Good luck with that, Victor.
Yeah. See how I think we have what might be called a double standard here.
A triple standard.
Yeah. Now, Thomas Keene, who was the director of this whitewash committee, when he was talking about the Pentagon's deceit, he said, it was so far from the truth, it's one of those loose ends that never get tied.
Yeah, he goes, we don't know why NORAD told us what they told us, and we don't know why you told us what you told us.
So
because David Ray Griffin absolutely dissected your 9/11 whitewash report completely. It's shredded. It has no public credibility whatsoever.
Yeah. So this testimony given by Pentagon officials was knowingly false, yet Thomas Keene describes it as a loose end that's never going to get tied up. Well, I wonder why that is.
Because the ends don't meet. That's why they can't be tied up, because the story doesn't jive from soup to nuts.
Yeah. So right there, this is an article that... It's more disgusting and more infuriating than anything. But to think this is some kind of smoking gun, it just shows that all of these various participants were in bed together, just like the Warren Commission for John F. Kennedy's assassination.
It kind of makes me go back to Kyle Hence. He was one of the same kind of people who would not ask hard questions.
Right.
He wouldn't share information that was pertinent and relevant. He helped create a thicker fog around the whole issue of 9/11. So who is he to even talk? I mean, he's such a hypocrite, this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Now, when I went over these reports very closely, the one thing I did notice was, and this was the same information brought out in the Flight 93 movie that we watched and reviewed, is that they're talking about planes being dispatched in the wrong direction.
Uh-huh.
They were delays in dispatching the flights, and they were sent after phantom flights.
Right.
Planes that didn't even exist. So right there, you have information. But as we get into this 9/11 Live article, the NORAD tapes, you're going to see that it wasn't the individuals whose voices recorded who were the guilty parties. They were filled with so much confusion that their heads were spinning. The people that were sending planes in the wrong direction, that were delaying the flights, and that were sending them after planes that didn't exist, these are the people, of course, that aren't mentioned in this article. Their voices weren't recorded, and these are the guilty parties. What we're given here in these two articles is limited hangouts. We're given incompetence.
Well, that's
we're
why
given
it got
negligence.
Published where it did.
Right, right. And people are like jumping for joy about this, saying, this is finally it. Now we have them. No, this is confusion, negligence, and incompetence.
And it's just reinforcing the official government conspiracy theory. I don't know why people get so excited about stuff like this. You should be more discerning by now and be able to pick these things out right away.
Right,
right away when you see them.
Again, we're going to say, if the mainstream controlled press is putting this information out, it's not an accident and it's not a coincidence. It's deliberate.
Right.
If they allow a panel on C-SPAN to speak for 2 hours, it wasn't an accident and it wasn't a coincidence. It was deliberate.
And they're not all of a sudden our friend. They're not all of a sudden pro 9/11 truth.
Yeah, remember.
For 5 years, they've helped cover it up. They are criminally
complicit. And they're still covering it up.
In mass murder. They're war criminals.
Yeah. Remember, the mainstream media is the enemy.
Well, you know why
they're
people
not
are
our
sending
friends.
Us around and getting all gung-ho about it? Because they saw that symposium last week.
Yeah.
And so they think C-SPAN's our friend. C-SPAN isn't our friend.
And then they're saying, well, look at how much headway we're making. C-SPAN puts on a symposium, and now look, we have these two articles, the NORAD live tapes. There's nothing here. There's nothing in this. It's incompetence and negligence.
Lie hop. Bush Cheney did it.
Yeah. Well, even lower.
Yeah.
Lower than lie hop, because it's still confirming or still promoting the government's official version of events. Now, here's a big question. Do you think when the evidence laid out in 9/11 evil hits the world tomorrow, do you think Vanity Fair or C-SPAN is going to be covering or promoting this information? The answer is absolutely not,
no.
Because they don't want the finger pointing in that direction. But they will point the finger at a bunch of air traffic controllers and military men that I can't fault at all, Lisa, from what I read. And I read every word
but
in this article.
But don't you see, it's just like what we've seen happen before with Iraq, where you've got low-level people or people who aren't the big players taking the fall, landing on the sword for the people above them.
Right.
That, of course, don't get penalized in any way. They get promoted and rewarded. And
now,
they get perks.
Now, do you know who wrote this NORAD Live article? It was this associate producer of the movie.
Of the movie, yeah.
Flight 93. Which
How convenient.
Was, yeah, which was one of the biggest propaganda fests I'd ever seen in my life. So conveniently, they take this guy that put out the propaganda movie, mm-hmm. Flight 93, that's still pushing the idea that you're making cell phone calls from 30,000 feet, that this plane that has 125-foot wingspan, 150 feet long, can fit into a 10-foot crater. And on and on.
But the most blatant thing to notice about this is the timing of it.
Right.
The timing of it with that symposium that was on C-SPAN just a few days ago.
Well, and to coincide with the fifth anniversary of 9/11. So the associate producer, propagandist, also writes this article. And do you think that this leopard is going to change its stripes now? Absolutely not.
Spots?
Absolutely spots, stripes, and plaids, whatever they have on.
Leopards have stripes now. Huh?
Okay. So,
you know what? They really do.
So it starts off on the third page or so talking about the Egyptians and the Saudis that commandeered the cockpit of American Airlines flight number 11. So right there, still pushing the official story. And as I was saying, Lisa, I can't fault the people whose voices were caught on these tapes. They were trying their damnedest
to figure it out.
And all they're seeing is mass confusion because they have this old equipment, and they call it, what, the green eye or something? The green eye, where there's thousands of blips.
Yeah, supposedly the civilian FAA had much more state-of-the-art equipment than these people during 9/11. But, you know, they're being painted to take the fall. They're being painted as the incompetent ones. And it's all going to be promoting an incompetence and negligence theory.
And not only do they have the chaos of multiple quote-unquote hijackings.
But who created the chaos?
But then they have all these war games going on. War games, war exercises.
Controlled chaos.
Yeah. And they have literally hundreds and hundreds of blips on these little green screens that they're looking at. And they're being told that one flight is being hijacked from here, then they lose the blip, and all of a sudden they hear it careens into the World Trade Center towers.
All those blips were on the screen for a reason, to deliberately confuse those people and make it harder for them to do their jobs. So that was all, it wasn't an accident or inadvertent thing that day, with all those blips on the screen and the poor air traffic controllers trying to figure out who's who and where they're going and what's what. That was deliberate and strategic.
Right. And as the author pointed out, he kept hearing the same things over and over again on these tapes. Is this real world or exercise? The people didn't know because they were aware that there were going to be some war exercises and war games that morning. The only problem is everything started a little bit earlier. And one guy even says, well, I think the hijack started an hour early at one point. So they're still thinking this might be a simulation.
Right.
They can't tell if it's real.
That should have been something that should have been able to be cleared up immediately by the higher-ups.
Then, when they want to dispatch the jets, they're not sure if they should just send them up to scramble these hijacked jets. They don't have any shoot-down orders, so when they scramble a jet, what they do is just simply trail it from like 5 miles behind, and they don't know where the planes are anyway. Everything's confused,
and they're
hearing more reports.
They couldn't order the shoot-down anyway, and
exactly.
Bush, of course, was busy doing the goat story thing.
Yeah, this one guy, Nespanyi, whatever his name was, he says, when they told me there was a hijack, my first reaction was, somebody started the exercise early. So these people don't know, but there were individuals behind the scenes that were very well aware of what was taking place, and they were the ones creating the havoc and creating the confusion.
Exactly. So I don't think this is anything worth getting very excited over. It's simply reinforcing the BS story that we've been listening to for the last 5 years almost.
Right. So then the author, to reinforce all this, okay, now this is the same author, the associate producer of Flight 93, the propaganda film, he says that these war games and war exercises and 9/11, it's all a coincidence. It's just a coincidence
that
they're
all... And he knows better than anybody. Yeah. That's why we should just believe him.
It's all this taking place at the same time, very strategically. It's just a coincidence.
Right.
Then he adds, this isn't a conspiracy. We shouldn't be delving into these dangerous conspiracy theories. So you see...
Don't ask questions.
Yeah. Not only are they lying to you, but they're reinforcing this little propaganda.
You know what they're doing? This is called manufacturing closure.
Yeah.
That's
what
that is. Well, we've solved that problem, so now we don't need to talk about it anymore. We don't need to wonder about it anymore. We don't need to speculate. We don't need to ask questions. We don't need to theorize. We don't need to research. We don't need to bring it up anymore.
Yeah.
Let's just let it go away.
So finally, when they try to start figuring everything out, they get these jets at Otis Air Force Base. But when they scramble them, when they dispatch the planes, they can't even tell what they're supposed to be finding because they have these little green radar scopes. And everything is such a massive confusion that they can't even find the proper plane that they're trying to intercept. So they send the planes up there, and they're like, what are the coordinate points? And they're like, well, we don't know yet. So the planes are up there, but they're not doing anything because they don't know where to go because there's so much confusion on these scopes. I mean, it's like, isn't all of this obvious? What's happening is they're promoting negligence. That's all it is. Then the planes, these quote-unquote hijacked planes, turn their beacons off, okay? So it makes it even harder to find where they are. Now, don't you think people behind the screen, or behind the scenes, would get on their private secure lines and have these conversations to say, turn the beacon off? But this isn't in anything that we see in these reports. It's not there.
No.
Because the private call. And they even, at one point, there's a guy, Colonel Marr. Or no, Major General Larry Arnold, who was stationed at NORAD's command center at Tyndall Air Force Base. They say that the majority of his phone calls were made on private secure lines.
Right.
So we're not reading.
Oh, so we don't get the, we're not privy to those conversations.
Yeah. So here's the major at NORAD. We're not reading what he's saying. We're just reading what all the confused guys looking at the little green radar scopes, and they're tearing their hair off because they're freaking. They're saying, what the hell are we supposed to do? Then all of a sudden they're saying, American Airlines Flight 11 hit the World Trade Center towers. They're like, how could that happen? Where the hell was it? You know? They don't even know where it was. Then, to make matters worse, there's reports that American Airlines Flight 11 is still up in the air.
Right, so they're tracking a ghost plane.
A ghost plane. They try to talk to the airlines. The airline goes into secrecy.
Right,
so
information lockdown.
Yeah.
Which, basically, that's what it's been for the last 5 years, an information lockdown.
Yeah.
Not just by the airlines, obviously.
Yeah, and that was American Airlines. They refused to comment. So these guys don't know if there's 2 hijacked planes, 3 hijacked planes, 5 hijacked planes. And they're still, as you go through this article on and on, page after page, they're still asking and still confused if this is real world or an exercise. Over and over again, they still can't tell. No.
The whole article isn't real world.
Yeah.
The whole article is a simulation.
Yeah. Then it goes on to talk about how they only had 4 fighter jets at their disposal to cover that northeast corridor of the United States. Now, do you think...
That was an accident, too.
Yeah. Do you think the people that were ultimately behind 9/11, do you think they were aware of that fact?
They didn't want to take any chances of having the right amount of planes that would normally be there.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
To be able to respond in time.
Yeah, they're very much well aware of this. And it goes on and on. Then... It covers some of the testimony.
Well, having all your ducks in a row.
Yeah. It goes into some of the testimony that these individuals give about Flight 93. And they're lying.
Right.
They're lying blatantly about the times because they're saying that they were first notified about United Flight 93 at 9:16 a.m.
Yeah, so they started tracking it at 9:16, but it hadn't even taken off yet.
Yeah. Well, see, I can't remember exactly what time it took off, but it turned out to be a lie because they weren't notified about this until about half an hour later. And by that time, of course, it was an entirely different matter. So they were acting as if they were tracking this plane for nearly an hour because it crash landed at 10:03. And there was even witnesses there, a guy named John Azzarello, former prosecutor, who was at the trial, or he was a staff member, actually, one of the commissioner's staff members, and he was saying how odd it was that none of these guys could get their stories straight.
Right, so now all these people are listening to this conflicting, contradictory testimony, false statements being made, but hey, we don't need a criminal investigation. Let's just write our whitewash report and tell everybody that the hijackers did it and go along with the official version of the fairy tale.
Yeah.
You know, so how deep could their suspicions have been?
Oh, yeah.
Skin deep?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it was only 9/11, right? It was just a major crime scene in the United States. But hey, what do I know?
Yeah, and then they talked a little bit about George Bush and how he was the one ultimately that had to give the shoot down orders. Well, they said at 9:30 a.m. that he only knew about the first tower being hit, and that's it. Now, that's completely preposterous. Completely preposterous. That by 9:30, after both towers had been hit, and the Pentagon only got hit about 8 minutes after that, that he only knew about one. I mean, this article, people were like freaking out about how great it is. And the more I go through it, it's like, this is nothing but lies, deception, obfuscation, and on and on and on. And it's amazing how easily the mainstream media and those behind them can put these red herrings out there, and everybody in the 9/11 movement jumps for joy, sends it around.
Right, but that's because everybody's so discerning, enlightened, and aware, and can spot a red herring in a limited hangout when you see one, right?
Yeah, but when any information about Israeli involvement or things that are contained in 9/11 evil come out, then you're going to hear this wall of silence, Lisa.
Because, the roaring silence.
Yeah, because, oh, that doesn't follow their pre-approved script.
It will be very reminiscent of the deafening silence that surrounded the controlled demolition research when that first started coming out, when we were talking about it, when Eric Hubschmidt was talking about it.
American Free Press.
Right. There was a deafening silence about the controlled demolition. Yeah. And now there's going to be a deafening silence about this with Israel.
But at least we have these two red herring articles that come from the mainstream, from mainstream sources. And everybody's so excited about it when there's nothing in these articles.
There's not only nothing new in it, there's nothing real in it.
Yeah. It's all, again, negligence, incompetence. They're and people that pick up Vanity Fair, when they go and they read it, and they'll be, oh, my God. That's the reason why this happened, because these silly guys at the Pentagon and these silly air traffic controllers were confused and they just dropped the ball.
You know why it got published? Because it fits perfectly in with the script. That's
Absolutely.
Why it's published.
This is part of the script. And, you know,
IHOP, it was a Bush-Cheney inside job, it was low level, it was military and aviation people's fault, it was incompetence, it was negligence. Don't look to external entities to be involved. It totally fits within the script, and that's why you're getting to see it.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, if you wonder why nearly 5 years from 9/11 there have been zero convictions, zero arrests, zero, not even a firing, because of 9/11, it's because of people like this in this 9/11 fake movement that are pushing this incompetence crap. And if we go 5 more years into the future or 10 more years into the future, there's still going to be no arrests, no convictions, and no firings, because the people pushing this crap are all part of the pre-scripted, approved cabal that's running a protection racket. And if you want the hardcore truth, if you want to see 9/11 reality, tomorrow it's going to be out there and it's going to be open for everybody. This is going to show you who was behind this. I'm going to watch my language right now, because if I don't, I'm going to start, going off. This is the reality. 9/11 evil. This, we're not talking about a lightweight, mamby-pamby, ring-around-the-rosy event.
No, we're going to give it to you, and we're going to put it right in your face. So you can either look at it, or you can stick your head back under the sand and scream, lie hop.
And we're going to ask for your help tomorrow and in the weeks after that to help get the word out about this, because these Zionist protectors, these government protectors, aren't going to get the word out about the true culprits.
That's right. And many of you helped us get the controlled demolition information out there the last time. Well, now we need you to take a look at this information and help us disseminate it far and wide, because the 9/11 untruth mafia and the containment cabal that's supposed to be an alternative media more than likely isn't going to help get this information out. And the public has a right and a need to know,
because it doesn't fit into their Orwellian...
doesn't fit the script.
1984 script. Well, tomorrow, folks, we're going to talk exclusively about 9/11 evil. We're going to tell you a little bit about what's in it. It's going to be up on the homepage. We're very, very excited. The people that have read this book already are excited about it. And this is a new step, a new stage in 9/11. And as I said, this information's been out there, but it's never been all put together in one place. Kind of just like 9/11 on trial.
We keep moving forward.
That's right.
We keep moving forward and getting closer and closer to the heart of the truth. And that's what we need to do. We can't stop and go back into neutral and start screaming about irrelevant things and pointing fingers at incompetence and negligence and hijackers and the 9/11 whitewash committee and believing mainstream media people who have lied to us for 5 years. We need to start, just keep looking forward and moving forward, and this is the next step.
And finding the hard, bitter truth.
And you know what? You have to make your courage bigger than your fear, just like the firemen did and the rescue workers on 9/11. We have to make our courage bigger than our fear and keep moving forward and pursuing that truth. And we can get there. We are getting there.
We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. We're going to talk about 9/11 evil. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.